Good morning. I invite you to open in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. If you're utilizing one of the Bibles scattered throughout the chairs this morning, that's on page 533. Page 533 if you're utilizing one of those Bibles. If you're using a different one, that's Proverbs chapter 9. Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:13 through 14, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide, and the way is easy, that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard, that leads to life. And those who find it are few. This is the reality that we must face this morning as we look at Proverbs chapter 9, is that there are only two ways to live. There are only two ways to live. You either walk the path of wisdom, or that path that takes the narrow gate and find life, but only few find it, or you will walk the path of folly or foolishness. You will take the broad gate that many take, that ultimately leads to destruction. But make no mistake, there is no third option. We either live recognizing God as our creator, and live according to his ways by following his son Jesus, to acknowledge that Jesus is God, that he is the only way that we can have a relationship with God by confessing our sin and placing our faith and trust in him and him alone, or we follow Lady Folly. All other worldviews, philosophies, religions represent the wide path of destruction. There are not varying paths, as some may claim, but instead the same path of folly that leads to destruction. All those varying paths that are ways of life that we might take, they lead to the same place. They are the same path. They are the broad path that leads to destruction. Only one path leads to life. That is the path of Lady Wisdom. That is the path that fears the Lord and recognizes that Jesus and Jesus alone is what is required to save us. This is the argument that Solomon has been making for these first nine chapters of the book of Proverbs. Folly and wisdom will manifest or make themselves apparent in many different ways in our lifetimes, but all of our decisions are a reflection of our true beliefs. We must trust God and his word if we are to live wisely. And if we don't trust God, if we don't trust his ways, then the Bible is telling us that we will take the path of folly. Today's text is broken into three sections. They're each six verses. Section one describes Lady Wisdom. Section three describes Lady Folly. And these sections mirror one another and yet display the clear differences between the two, those two paths of life. And then section two, the middle section, tells us about the travelers that we meet on each path, the scoffers and the wise. And as we look at this text this morning, as we conclude the introductory chapters of the book of Proverbs, and we are kind of bringing across this section that started with the fear of the Lord in Proverbs chapter 1 and will end with the fear of the Lord in Proverbs chapter 9, before we enter into the really practical Proverbs that we'll see over the next coming weeks covering chapters 10 through 29, you have to see that it is decision-making time. That Solomon is making clear that if you are to enter into the way of wisdom, it's not about pithy sayings that give good life tips. That the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. That the way of wisdom is the way in which you follow Jesus. To know Jesus is a necessity to understand and take the path of a wise life. So which path will you choose? Who will you follow? And maybe most importantly, who will you be? Will you be a scoffer or will you be wise? Let's read Proverbs chapter 9 together. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live, and I will walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Well, as we jump into the proverb and we first want to look at the way of wisdom, the path of wisdom, and see what Lady Wisdom is like yet again, we are told that wisdom has built her house. So as we've been walking through this book, we have seen that Solomon has chosen to personify wisdom. That is, he has taken this quality of God, wisdom, and he has made it human-like. And she is female. And we're getting to know wisdom. And that's why you're seeing these feminine pronouns all throughout this text of her house. And he's telling us about wisdom and what wisdom is like. And he's using kind of these literary devices to help you understand and really feel what it's like to walk in the path of wisdom. What is God's wisdom like? She has built her house and she has hewn her seven pillars. She is prepared. She has labored hard for the sake of those who follow her, and her home is large because it requires not one, not two, but seven pillars. The normal house didn't require a pillar at this time. And what the other thing that we can see about these pillars, again, it's just a literary device, is telling you pillars aren't just made overnight. They're made out of really large pieces of stone that have to be hewn, that have to be carved out and made. And Solomon is telling you that she has taken time to build this beautiful palace that is her house and is her place. It is lavish. It is wonderful. The wise life is not the boring life. It's not the life where you don't get to have any fun. No, the wise life is where the true wealth and the true joy of life is to be found. That joy continues in verse 2 as it tells us that she has slaughtered her beasts and she has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She prepares this feast. And listen, it is good food and it is good drink. She is making you eat. And it is not some kind of buffet style of just the leftovers of what you want and you got to go serve yourself. No, no, no. She has set the table for you. She is a great hostess. It's the kind of home you walk into and you feel comfortable, and you smell the food that is ready, that is being prepared for you. You want to sit down at this table. And the wine isn't mixed. It's not watered down, but it's mixed with various spices and things that would make it taste really, really good. She has taken time to make sure that her home is ready for her guest. And in verse 3, we're told that she has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in town. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. To him who lacks any sense, she says, come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. She invites you to come, to enjoy the palace, to take part in the feast. She's prepared, and she is selfless in her generosity of her bounty. Listen, Lady Wisdom is that personification of that attribute of God. Solomon is telling you that God has prepared this banquet for you. Christ has prepared a banquet for you. And he ushers you and he bids you, come. Come and take of my bounty. That's what the wise life will do for you. And it's not just for the elite, the rich and the wealthy, but it's for the simple. The one who lacks sense can come and take part of this banquet that is found only in Jesus. In Isaiah 55, we are told, come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me here that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. That's the offer that Lady Wisdom is making to me and to you. And it's not something that you work for. It's not something that you just obey enough. It's not something, if you're just good enough, then you get to come and partake in the banquet. It's free. It's for all those who will turn into her and come as her heralds go out and call out from the top of the high places, come, you simple ones, come, those who lack sense, come to me and take joy in my banquet. But to come and enjoy the feast, you must listen to verse 6. And it says this: leave your simple ways and live, and walk in the way of insight. You cannot enjoy the feast, this palace of hospitality, while still eating White Castle burgers and refusing to leave your hoarder shack of sin.
You can't enjoy the palace unless you leave your old home. Now here's where the rubber meets the road, and this gets hard for you and for me. We've got to be very real here. Because here's the truth. About those White Castle burgers. Here's the truth. About the shack that you live in. And your sin. My sin. It has become home. See, the reality is leaving your old way of life is scary. It's all you know. It's what you're comfortable with.
Our current way of life is comfortable. That thought of change, it's paralyzing. You know it's not good. You wouldn't be in this room if you didn't know that there's some things that need to change. We show up to church because we know something deep down within us is telling us this isn't right. But yet we cling hard to that old way of folly. The offer of Lady Wisdom is come live in my palace. What's going to make you want to leave your old sin and ways of life? See, I implore you this morning, you've got to look at the bounty that's being offered to you in Christ. You've got to see and see clearly what Jesus is offering. What Jesus is offering is something that you will never get on your own. And what Jesus is offering is something better than your current comfortable way of life. But you have to leave the old way if you're going to enjoy the new one. That's the offer that she is making. She has the choice wine. She has the choice food. The wise life is just that. It is life. Choose that way of life and you will live and truly live. Follow her. Because sin, though comfortable as it is, sin, though this is all that I know, it's the only way I understand how to live, it'll kill you. It will kill you. Do not go any further. Listen to the heralds that Lady Wisdom has sent to the highest places of the town. Listen to the preachers, the parents, the grandparents, the neighbors, and the friends that cry out to you, and they cry out, turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus and live. He has labored for you in his cross and set the table in his resurrection from the grave. If you are to be wise, if you are to take the path that is narrow, that leads you to life, you must follow Christ. You must leave the old way and follow him. But as we set that before you, and that's the offer that she makes, let's take a look at the people you're going to find along the path. The people who are traveling with us. The simple, those who have yet to commit, who she is crying out to, the scoffers, and the wise. We've already been told the simple, The young woman cry out to them in verses 3 and 4. And listen, Lady Folly, she will also cry out to the same people in verse 16. The simple are those who have yet to come and commit to a path. They're not innocent. I want to be clear about that. No, they live foolishly, are in desperate need of insight. Yet they're not quite like this next group of travelers that we encounter in verses 7 and 8. These are the scoffers. The scoffers are those who have resolved to scorn Lady Wisdom. They delight in folly, and we are warned about the scoffers. We read verse 7 together. It says, "Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abuse, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury." Listen, the scoffer is not appeased by winsome presentation of the gospel. Instead, when loved by a herald of Christ, a Christian that lovingly tells them about Jesus, they lash out in anger. They abuse the person that loves them enough to tell them about Christ. They cause injury to those that would dare reprove them. We all know scoffers. They make fun of you, cut you off in conversation. They talk at you, not with you. They're rude. They're arrogant. They're quick to accuse you of hypocrisy. What are you to do with a scoffer? What do we do when we encounter these folks? When Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, Jesus tells us this very bluntly. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. This is in a conversation that Jesus gives about judging us. It's like the favorite verse quoted by scoffers. Like, don't judge me. You know, no one can judge me. But what actually Jesus actually says in the text is don't judge anybody unless you first remove the log from your own eye so that then you might remove the speck from your brother's eye. He doesn't say, leave the speck in your brother's eye. He says, first, confess your own sin, remove the log from your own eye, and then with the clarity that confessed sin gives you, lovingly, surgically, gently, remove that speck from your brother's eye. But he's also acknowledging that some people, it's hard to remove a speck if they're fighting you off the whole time, right? And so Jesus is saying there are going to be people that aren't going to let you near them. And he is telling you, do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Simply this, it is not your responsibility nor my responsibility to convert anyone. You can't convert anyone. God alone has the power to change the stony heart. Now, I'm not telling you to give up. That's not what I'm saying. You need to pray and never stop praying for these people in your life. But Christian, in the moment and in that conversation, I want you to know God has told you, you can walk away. You can walk away. You don't have to sit there and get screamed and yelled at. You don't have to endure it if you don't have to. If God provides you a way out and they are a scoffer, you are free to say, you know, dinner's on. I gotta go. We'll pick this up later. Maybe we'll have a conversation later. You can do that. Life is not a series of, I got it, there's these moments, and if I don't get everything down in this one moment, then I failed. What do I do now? Oh, I wish I would have said this. No. Life is long. God is working in ways that we cannot see. And when you meet this person, you need to know, you reprove them and you're going to cause yourself abuse. That's what Solomon is telling you. So it's okay. God is telling you, you can take a step back. Don't take what's holy just so it can get trampled on. Trust God. Trust in his sovereign work. You can walk, but walk away. Now that's easier said than done, right? What happens when that scoffer is one of my children? What if it's a lifelong friend, a cherished neighbor, people that we love and so desperately want to see to come to know Jesus? What am I supposed to do? You must bear with them. Love them even when they are not lovely. And trust a sovereign God. You are to be a herald, a messenger, but you are not the one that changes them. God changes hearts. Listen to the wisdom of the proverb and trust it. Proverb chapter 9, verse 8. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Scoffers must have their hearts changed, and only God can do that. And as God changes the heart and brings about wisdom, when we bring reproof, the wise man will love you for it. We must pray that God would make them wise and save them from sin. We must pray that they would get uncomfortable in that house of sin so they would leave it and come into the palace of wisdom that Christ is offering them. Because listen, the wise are the other group of travelers that we meet. And the wise are those who are committed to Lady Wisdom and her ways. And the beauty of the wise is that they are ever increasing in their wisdom. In verse 9, we're told, give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. Wisdom is the gift that keeps on giving. You don't have to become wise to simply arrive, but rather you become wise when you come to know Christ, and then Christ continues to make you wise throughout your life. We can think of it in our new members class. We sometimes have a chart that we put up and we show people as we talk about what it means to become more like Jesus over a lifetime. And on one line, it's everything before you became a Christian. You see what the Bible teaches is you can't be born a Christian. You must be what it calls born again. You must have a time in your life where you're convicted of your sin, you know you are a sinner, and that God has shown you that, and then you repent and follow Jesus. And that is what we call conversion, or the new birth. You are born again. And in that little chart, there's kind of these ups and downs. You know, you do good things, you do bad things, even before you're a Christian. But then there's the reality of you become a Christian, and it's like, whoop, you change. You're radically different. You're not the same person anymore. But in the little chart that we have, it's kind of, then imagine like a little staircase that's leading up, and there's this another line that says death on it. And what it's saying in death is you're continually growing, and you're growing over time. You're becoming more like Jesus. And then one day, you're going to die. Okay, everyone in this room, you are going to die. And when that happens, if you have taken the path of wisdom, if you follow Jesus, if you were converted, if you were born again, Jesus is saying he's going to make you look more like him over the course of your lifetime. He's going to totally reorient, change your life. And when you die, you are going to be glorified with him. You are going to be a completed work. The sin that still plagued you will be no more. And you will be like him forever. And that's what this proverb is telling us. The wise people increase in wisdom over time. What is a Christian? What is not a Christian? Christians aren't Christians just because they get it right, because they just make all the right choices and they do the right stuff. Christians are Christians because they place their faith in Jesus alone, and Jesus, because he loves you and because he's prepared this feast for you, has said, listen to me. It just gets better and better and better. At his wedding feast, the wine just keeps tasting better. The food gets more and more savory. It gets better and better and better as you increase in the knowledge of wisdom. The reality is that Christians grow in holiness over the course of their lives. Why is that true? Why do the wise increase in wisdom and the scoffer respond to wisdom in violence? Why? Because of verse 10. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Because the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Only those that have an awe of God can hope to access his wisdom. Fear here is not referring to being afraid of God. Those in Christ have no need to fear God. But rather, it is referring to the reality that God is the supreme being in the whole universe, that nothing comes before him. He's the source of all wisdom. He's the measure of all truth. And therefore, we must fear or reverence him in order to see this created world clearly. Fearing God is our starting point for wisdom. When me, Dave, and Mark put up the railing on my deck, we had to place each baluster by hand, and it was a lot of them. I don't even remember what the total number is. I know my hands were sore from cutting them over and over again, but we had to put all these things up by hand. And so Mark made us this small little piece of wood that was 3 inches long, and he wrote the word spacer on it so that I wouldn't cut it up by accident. And we kept that one little piece of wood the whole time with us. It was exactly 3 inches. And we used that spacer to keep those balusters all nice and even, nice and straight throughout the whole deck. Now imagine if Mark would have mismeasured the spacer. Or halfway through, I accidentally grabbed a wrong, similar size block of wood, but not the same original spacer. The whole project would have been ruined. We were off because the starting point would not have been right. Our measure, our guide, that spacer, would have changed throughout the project, and that would have hurt the project. And that's what we're saying when we say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God himself is that spacer. God is the measure, the truth that we base all other wisdom off of. And if you get off there, if you're not at the right starting point, you will inevitably make decisions that are contrary to the will of God, that are not wise. You'll think they're wise, because what we're going to see here in a little bit, Lady Folly, she's persuasive. You'll think that that's the right stuff, but it won't be. If you're relying on your own self and your own ways, you cannot hope to be wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is where we get our insight. He tells us in verse 11, "For by me your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life." Now this is the promise of God to the wise. But dear brother or sister, the buck stops with you. That's the promise. That years will be added and multiplied to your life, that eternal life will be yours in Christ if you follow the way of wisdom. But in verse 12, it tells us, if you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. Listen, your parents, your spouse, your kids, your friends, your pastor, whoever it is that you're hoping on, depending on, they will not be there on the day of judgment. When you stand before God, you will stand before him on your own. You don't get credit by association. You walk the path of wisdom or folly because you personally are either wise or foolish. You personally have a relationship with Christ or you personally do not. You either fear the Lord or you do not. There is no third path. It is one or the other. Jesus speaks to the church at Laodicea, and he says this in Revelation 3, 15 through 17. "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spit you out of my mouth." He speaks to this church, and he's saying, you guys, you can't decide if you want to follow me or not. Listen, that doesn't make the cut. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Our world tells us that all paths lead to some kind of ambiguous God. And the Bible tells us that is not true. There is one path, there is one God. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. He is the path to wisdom that leads to life. All other paths are really just the path of folly. Broad. And listen to where she leads. Picking up in verse 13, it says, "The woman of folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know what the dead are... But he does not know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol." Listen, she is loud. Lady Folly is not some kind of secret. The path that leads to destruction, it is broad. And she is seductive. She will lure you and entice you. It is more appealing to the flesh to follow Lady Folly. And yet she knows nothing. what I want us to see for just a moment, and if you're looking at your Bible, you can look at this. If you look at the first six verses of our text, and you look at these last six verses of the text, there's some very purposeful comparing and contrasting going on between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly that Solomon is giving us. You see, they both call from high places. They both cry to the simple and bid them to come and turn into them. They call to the one who lacks sense to come and eat and drink. The way of folly can appear wise if we do not know what we're looking for. If we do not fear God and trust his word, then we will be fooled by Lady Folly. If you are just relying on your own gut to make the right decisions, then you will not make the right decisions. You will be fooled by a cheap imitation of true wisdom. Listen now to the differences. Wisdom builds a home of seven pillars. It requires time and effort. Lady Folly sits at the door of her house. Folly bids the simple to come and eat, but look what she has to offer: bread and water. Wisdom has meat and fine wine. Wisdom offers you great food from her beast and her wine cellar. Folly not only offers just mere bread and water, it's not even hers. She tells you to go steal bread and water from somebody else. They're total opposites. Wisdom is super generous from her own stores. Folly is so selfish, she wants you to steal from other people. Look at the worldviews of the world that you were presented over and over and over again, and you're told, oh, it's all the same. Oh, this is good and this is right. I want you to challenge you. Look closely. Who is offering you themselves? Who is offering you from their own storehouses? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid your debt on the cross. He gets really nothing out of this relationship. But he set his love on you, died in your place, and rose from the dead by his own power, and then says to you, who has no money, who doesn't deserve it, come and eat. Come take of my bread and my wine. And I will tell you, you look at every other worldview, and there is a common denominator. It is behave this way, act this way, do this thing, pay this money, accept this, tolerate that, then everything will be fine and acceptable as long as you walk the company line. But you dare move away from their path, and they will kill you. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. What they all have in common is a promise of, if you're just good enough, you'll make it. But they hide it in the fine print of the treacherous worldviews of Lady Folly, because the truth is, none of us are good enough. There is only one way that says, for all you who are broken and weary, come to me and I will give you rest. And that's what Jesus does. He is different than every other way. She is a great and awesome hostess, Lady Folly. She offers you her palace, Lady Wisdom. But Lady Folly, all she offers is death. The final resting place is the depths of Sheol, the place of the dead. Come stay here, and you can sleep in a grave. That is her offer. Come to me, and I'll show you my tomb. Throughout Proverbs 1 through 7, we learned that the way of folly was violent, greedy, lustful, lazy, prideful, and self-indulgent. In a word, sinful. Lady Folly will entice you with your own desires, and in the end, she will kill you, whether that be by the hands of violent men, if you join a gang like we read about early on in Proverbs, or the hands of a jealous husband if you sleep with his wife, as we talk about in Proverbs 5 and 6 and 7, whether that be by the starvation because you're lazy, poverty comes and steals from you, as we read about in Proverbs chapter 6. The end result is the same: death. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death. A wage is what you earn. It's what you get. And God is saying is that you walk in the path of sin, you will die. You will die not just a physical death, though an untimely physical death is more likely if you live a life of folly. But what is certain is an eternal death. If you follow the path of folly, she will just not lead you to the grave. She will lead you to hell. Eternal separation from God and eternal punishment and torment for sin. I love you enough to warn you of that reality. But that is not where I will stop today. Yes, I am warning you. And I beg you to hear the warning and hear it clearly. Hell is real and it is forever. It is worthy of your fear. However, that's not the end of that verse. There's something else you and I must hear. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. As a Christian, not as a pastor, as a Christian, I am a herald of wisdom. And if you are a Christian, you are too. And I am an ambassador of Christ, announcing to you today that there is a way to live. Not just survive. I'm not just offering you survival, but a way to live and truly live a full life, an abundant life. If you do not know Christ, then you are one of the simple, one who lacks sense. You're not innocent, and you are on the path to hell. You need to choose to follow the path of wisdom, to eternal life, and to leave the path of folly. Will you become wise and learn that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that you must turn away from sin and trust Jesus to save you, or will you reject Jesus and become a scoffer? That choice is yours, and I am praying that God will take your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. If you want to follow Jesus today, at the last two songs, I'll be standing at the back, and you can come and meet me there to learn more what it means to follow Jesus. I want to tell you. Our church wants to tell you. If you're here today and you know Christ, you know Jesus. But the reality that we must face is this. The path of wisdom, while it's a path that we have chosen, is sometimes a path that we fall off of. Lady Folly continues to tempt you and me. She tries to get you to abandon the feast in the palace, instead to go eat bread and drink water and stay home of the filth and shame. And you and I must resolve to stay on the path of wisdom and know that with God's help, which he has promised, we will follow this path all the way to our heavenly home. In the meantime, will you go to the high places and cry out on behalf of Lady Wisdom? Will you beckon others, come you who are simple, come turn into her, come and enjoy the feast that I have found? Will you be an ambassador for Christ? As the old Indian hymn tells us, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Let me pray. God, I pray that you would work in this room today, that you would work through the preaching of your word and through Proverbs chapter 9, through Romans 3:23, and that you would pierce the heart of every individual in this room. Lord, for those who know you and love you, I pray that you would bless them with assurance, bless them with the assurance of their salvation, that it's not about living a perfect and right life, that they would know that they are on the path of wisdom because you did something miraculous in their life, you gave them new birth in Christ, and that you are holding them until the end. And if they are living in sin as Christians, that they would hear the word of God proclaimed to them, and they would repent, and they would say, I no longer want to live in my filth, in my shame, and eat the bread and the cold water that Lady Folly has offered me. But I want to go back home. I want to go and be with Jesus. And I want to eat from the feast that he's prepared and the wine that he has given that is good and right in this life. I don't want to live a guilty life anymore. I want to live for Jesus, and that they, through repentance and faith, would take hold of what is theirs already in Christ, the joy of their salvation. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here who has never made a commitment to follow Jesus, who does not understand that they cannot be born a Christian, that they must become a Christian, they must be born again. I pray, God, that you would use the teaching of the Bible to show them that it does not matter what anyone else has told you. You will stand before God and God alone on the day of judgment, and his word is what you will be measured against. And his word says, you must come. You must come and follow Jesus. You have to leave the old path and start on the new path. Help us see that truth this morning. Use your preached word. Use the celebration of this ordinance together as we symbolically take of the bread and the cup, that we would come to the table only if we've been born again, knowing that we have decided to follow Jesus, that there is no turning back. I ask this in your name. Amen.